Aloha, Kakahiaka, and welcome to the Crystal and Kaivi Talk Story at 9 a.m. High Time. That stands for Hawaii Time. This is a Hawaiian spirituality show where we trust and believe and follow the path that Keakua has laid before us. And we're the show is designed to help you to follow your path, trust and believe the path that Keakua has set aside for you. My name is Crystal. My co-host Kaivi will not be joining us today. Today's topic is about joy, the third innate gift Keakua gave us, Lea. So, hope everybody's having a wonderful day here in North Texas. It's a rainy, cool day. I'm not sure exactly how cool, but it's chilly outside. And I'm sitting in front of the fireplace enjoying this beautiful Thursday afternoon here in Texas. Hope wherever you're at, you're having a wonderful day as well. We start our shows off every week with the pule, that is the prayer. So I'm going to go ahead and start the prayer so we can get started with our show. Mahalo Keakua, mahalo na amakua, mahalo na kapuna. We give thanks in each and everything that you do for us each and every day in all the moments and seconds of the day. Even through our challenges, our trials and tribulations, that's what we know gets us through them is you guiding us. We're also grateful for all the miracles that you perform each and every day, the miracle of life, the miracle of joy, of falling in love for the first time, and many more blessings that happen because of your great hands at work. We ask that you open up this space during this hour radio show so that way we can open our hearts, our minds, and our souls so that we can share our mana'o and learn from ourselves as well as others, and that you give us the correct words so that way we're speaking from your truth. Keakua, thank you again for everything that you do, and I'm just blessed. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. Sorry, guys, got really emotional there. Today's one of those days that I am recovering over a stomach bug that I got on Saturday night, and there was no tequila involved, so that was makes it really dreadful on like so many different levels. My husband was cracking up because I told him, oh my, the muscles on my stomach hurt so bad. I go, I bet you nobody's ever felt like this before. He goes, anybody that's had a tequila drunk knows what it feels like. And I'm like, I've had a tequila drunk, and I've never had my muscles hurt like this before. So, yeah, you know, there's times drinking alcohol is okay. You know, there's some of us that can drink in moderation. And in my youth, I was known to rage with the best of them and have sat in front of the porcelain God, heathen, please, I'll never do this again. So, yes. But now this stomach bug that I had, I don't know, it was very strange, but it's okay. So now I'm just eating really gentle on my stomach until I'm feeling 100% on my belly. Otherwise, feel really well and just joyful and happy that today's here. Hey, guest 447, guess what? I have chat today. Woohoo! Finally got my laptop working. So, hope you're having a great day there, Guest 447. And so, we're talking about joy. So, you know, I love the word find because when people go to jail or to prison, they, you know, they when they went in, they may not have believed in God, or they did believe in God, but not really. You know, maybe didn't go to church on a regular basis or whatever. And they go into church, they go to prison, and then they come out and they go, yes, I found God. And I crack up. And yes, I know I'm a cynic, but God was never lost. He's part of us. You know, we're part of Him. We're that co-creation, you know, we're created in the image. We're his gift. He's, you know, he's our gift. You know, it's a symbiotic relationship. And so I always crack up with the word find, because for me, find means I really lost something, like my keys. And for those of you that know me on a personal level that are listening in, know that I lost my keys in December like three different times, and my girlfriend said she was going to tattoo them onto my fingers, and that was going to be kind of funny, but that's a whole other story. So anyways, so finding joy. You know, I have a friend named Joy. She's a really cool chick, has a metaphysical store here in town. And so, and I know she's not lost because she's either in NOLA or in Dallas, because she commutes between the two cities. But finding joy, it's an innate gift. It's a gift that you have inside of you. This is not, this is the third gift, because first gift was Aloha, remember, that we talked about 2 weeks ago. And last week we talked about Malu, peace. And so this week we're talking about one of my favorites, joy, which is Leia. And it's an innate gift that was given to us when we chose to be born, when we were born, when we made our agreement. Whatever belief system you have, I'm not going to bash one over the other, because they're all exactly where you need to be. I, you know, and as a healer coach, I have to remember that not everybody's belief system is the same as my belief system, and everybody else's belief system is perfect for where they're at now. So that's where we're at. And part of the reason why I love Leia is, who doesn't love joy? Who doesn't love being happy? I'm going to tell. This morning, my husband and I have three dogs, for those of you that don't know, but they sleep in the bed with us. We have the small, the medium, and the large, and thank God we don't have the extra large or the mammoth. But so anyways, the medium-sized dog, Sam, the puppy, hears my husband snoring very differently than normal, and he goes over to investigate what's going on, because my husband has a deviated septum, and he was born with it. And he, so he was whistling as he's snoring. So I'm finding joy in watching my son, Samson, look at his papa, my husband, amazement that my husband is whistling. And he's wondering what is going on. And I'm cracking up. So, of course, I love smartphones. I get my smartphone and I hit record. So, through the morning, I, you know, tell my husband, oh, I said, you were whistling in your sleep while you were snoring. And he goes, what? And I said, your deviated septum. I said, we're going to need to get that checked out. But Sam was checking it out, and he goes, no, I wasn't. I was like, because this is one of those, you know, husband and wife debates that goes on. No, Well, I taped him so that way he would know it was true. I grab my smartphone, play it. I laughed so hard at my husband, because my husband was laughing so hard at listening to himself snore and whistle. Now, Aloha, SS Jones 12. And so he's laughing hysterically to the point where I'm laughing hysterically and snorting like a pig, because it's so funny. And I wish that I wasn't on my phone so I could play it, so that way I could share with you guys how crazy our sense of humor is, because it's funny, but not necessarily to everybody else. But that's the key. You have to find the joy within yourself. And the fact that I was looking at the joy through Sam's eyes, an 18-month-old puppy, looking through the joy at my husband's eyes and his being, and then, of course, looking at the joy through my own, because it was hysterical to watch the amazement, the wonderment. My husband, I cannot believe you recorded me. I told him, I told you one of these days I might. And he was cracking up at me. He just thought I would never do that. And I did. And it's okay. It's all good. But you, the other thing is I've got 25 years invested in our relationship. So I do take liberties from time to time. And tape recording him while he was sleeping was one of them. So what are other ways that you can find joy within yourself? Well, it's not lost. You just kind of keep pushing it down because you allow other obligations. Last week, I had a client. I think it was last week, yeah. Sorry, my days are kind of running in together here. That was extremely overwhelmed, had lots of just issues of not being well, not feeling well, feeling lost and forgotten, forsaken. And we just had a good time visiting because with me in sessions, it's not about, oh, well, you're bad and you this and you that. No. Okay, so what's been going on? You know, let's talk this out. And so she explained to me what was going on, and I gave her one of my most fun exercises for being overwhelmed. I heard it from Esther Hicks on, I forget what DVD I was listening to of Esther's, it wasn't a DVD. It was a radio show program from about 3 years ago that I happened to catch on Hay House. I love Hay House Radio, yes. And on the radio program, she had talked about being overwhelmed. She's at dinner with Jerry, when Jerry is still alive. So, you know, this was quite some time ago. And she was telling Jerry, oh, my God, I'm not sure how we're going to do this. And I'm really stressing this, that, and the other. Point, Abraham had come through to her and told her to do this exercise. So this is not my exercise, but I use it often when I'm coaching with clients that are overwhelmed and feel that they're spinning out of control and have nothing to offer the world, that they feel hopeless, unloved, unwanted, unworthy, whatever, everything but the un-cola. And so this is the exercise in being overwhelmed. So if you're overwhelmed, I want you to get a piece of paper. Don't get a little piece of paper because we all have this thing of being overwhelmed. Get the big sheet of paper, the whole 8.5 by 11. Draw a line down the middle and one across the top. On the left-hand side of the column, you're going to write everything. You're going to things that can be done, things I can physically do myself is what the topic is on the left-hand side. Things I can do physically myself. On the right-hand side, you're going to write everything else that the universe, God, Kaukua, Spirit, Allah, Buddha, Dios, whatever your name is for source, universe, it goes on that type. So whatever topic, everything else goes to the universe is how Esther said, or source, I think maybe. It's been a while since I listened to that recording, but it was fabulous, and I wish they would replay it again because it's fabulous. And I had signed up for that whole Hay House program. It was like a 21 days in June, about 3 years ago. And the only one I had an opportunity to listen to is this one. I missed every single one, missed the replays, but this is the one that I needed the lesson on because obviously I had issues and I was going to have clients that were having issues. So did you write on the left-hand side things that I can take physical responsibility for, things that I can physically do, you know, things that I have control over, basically is what goes on that left-hand column. Right column, everything else God takes care of. Okay. Hey, guest 466, thanks for logging in. Okay, we're doing an exercise on being overwhelmed since you just won that I learned from Esther Hicks. So on the left-hand side, we're writing things that we have physical control of that we can do. And on the right-hand side is everything else that God has control over. So Esther's telling Jerry, well, you know, I've got all this stuff that I have to do, and I just don't know how I'm going to have enough time, and I'm just really overwhelmed. Abraham tells her to do this exercise. The left-hand side, she starts writing down the things that she physically has to do or can do or go to do. She writes, got to go to the bank, got to go to the grocery store, got to do this session, got to book this, got to do this. Everything else that she could not physically take care of, like return phone calls, you know, meet her appointments, et cetera, she wrote in the other column. Everything else that she could not take care of personally, physically, on the telephone, went in the other column. Because if you're going to worry about stuff that you have no control over, you're going to be spinning around like a little old top. And that's not going to cause you joy. That's going to cause you some pain, anxiety, anguish, hyperventilation, the vapors. And life is too short to have any of those things. Anxiety, the vapors. Oh, my goodness. The pain, the agony, the anguish. No, 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 no. Life is too short to have all of that. Yes, you can have it for a few minutes, so that way you can recognize it and realize, okay, why am I having this feeling? And then you switch and go, okay, is this mine, or is it something God, Keakua, the universe can take care of for me? Well, if it's out of your control, then put it back in their hands. There's no reason that you have to control everything. Trust me, I am the biggest control freak. Ask my husband. However, I have learned to let go of things that I have no physical control over. The only things I have control over is getting up, feeding breakfast for my little zoo, including my husband and myself, getting ready for work, getting ready for a session, going to the grocery store, hardware store, talking on the telephone, returning phone calls, returning emails. Oh, that's another thing. If you have too many email lists, if you're on too many email lists, get off of them. If you're not able to keep up with all of your email, get rid of it. I know. That's what I've been doing the last 3 or 4 days that I've been sick. So, okay, so now that you've got this exercise, you know, do it at your quiet space. But once you figure out your priorities, because this is your priorities. I have to pick up my child at school. I have to drop them off here. I need to set play dates. I need to make sure there was a babysitter. Those are all physical things you have control over. But worrying about something else that somebody else has control over, not your problem. Let spirit handle it, but write it down on the list. Really want my boss to give me that promotion over the other person. They are just as equally qualified, but I think I can do a better job. You have no control over that. That's your boss's objective, subjective issue. So what do? You write it in the other column. One of the easiest exercises to get out of being overwhelmed. Because when you're not overwhelmed, then you can start laughing at the funniest things. Like I said, mine and my husband's sense of humor is very different compared to most. But we laugh at everything. When I met him, one of the things that I wrote in my letter to God for him is that I wanted to laugh every day because I was missing joy from my life. Why was I missing joy from my life? Because I forgot that it was my innate gift. I realized that joy was missing and that it was my responsibility to get joy back in my life because it's my life, not anybody else's, but my life. Same thing for you guys. You know, last year we were talking about sandboxes. So this is your sandbox. What you put inside your sandbox to play with. Think about all the little fun, cool toys in a sandbox. We get the little pail, the shovel, the little rake. I don't remember what else, but I always just use those three things. But, you know, and ourselves. That's the other thing in our sandbox. And so we're having fun stuff in our sandbox. You know, our society deems that we have to work a certain way, do things a certain way. Well, that's true. We do have to do things a certain way. We have societal laws that we follow. But it doesn't mean that we have to be miserable to do them. If you're at a job that you do not love, a J-O-B, I am not saying quit your job. I am saying think about what that passion is that you really like doing. Start doing it on the side. Please don't want to hear that I don't have time, because you do. And then you'll be amazed at what happens when you start following your bliss. Yesterday I had the privilege of being tagged on Facebook by one of my really good friends that's a Native American healer here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Patricia Dancing Elk, fabulous lady. And the tag was a Steve Harvey post that he did after a taping of Family Feud. And I'm sure if you Google it and search for it, it's called, I think it had Jump in the title. But long story short, because I could probably quote you the whole thing, I made my husband watch it with me yesterday, and I had seen it before I showed it to my husband. But he was talking about following your bliss and taking that leap of faith, taking that jump. You know, when you see other people soaring and having and living their happy life and they're following their bliss, and you're over here on the cliff going, that's not fair. How come he's getting to do that? Well, they figured out how to follow their bliss. While you still have your gift, which is your bliss, on your back, is how he puts it. And as he said, when you jump off that cliff, it's not necessarily going to be easy. Trust me. Kaivi and I both will tell you, taking the leap of faith and following your bliss and doing the work you're guided to do is not easy. But you can also go with that old adage, anything worth having is not always easy, which is not always true. However, as he was talking, he was just talking about jumping, taking that leap of faith, and going for your goals. When you do that, you're going to have success. He talked about two of his friends, one that he would never go out late with the clothes because he would say, oh, I got to go mow lawns. The man has a $4 million business in the Cleveland area because he was devoted to following his bliss, cutting grass. There's no shame in it. There's lots of money to be made in cutting grass. I at one time had a landscaper. It was costly, but it was worth it because my husband and I did not have time to do it ourselves. But they did a great job. Following your bliss. He has another friend that did auto detailing. Same thing. Following his bliss. He knows people that have high school, college education. They're not following their degree. They're following their bliss. So whatever it is that you're really good at, that people tell you, oh, you should do this. Those are God sending angel words in their mouth to tell you, hey, you really should do that. You're really good at that. Instead of going, nah. Oh, thanks, but, you know, There's nothing saying that you can't do it part-time, half a day on a Saturday, half a day on a Sunday to start. And then as you start getting your clients and start networking and word of mouth, people telling you, hey, I'm going to refer you to my friend because they really need to see you. And, of course, that's the biggest compliment, is when you get a referral from one of your clients or a referral from one of your friends. My business depends on referrals. If I'm not doing a great job and people don't want to refer me, then I'm not doing something right. And like I said, when I did have a landscaping company that I hired, they did a great job. I got extremely great value. I said it was pricey, but it was worth it to me. Laurel Langmeyer, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you're doing all these menial tasks, as she puts it, which is doing your own house cleaning, doing your own landscaping, and not paying for it, then I forget exactly how she says it, but you're not doing yourself a favor by going into your business wholeheartedly. Realistically, a lot of us may not be able to afford hiring other people to come in and do certain menial tasks, as she puts it. Some of us love doing our own menial tasks. But the reality is every waking hour that you have available, that you're not doing something else that you deem more important, then you should devote to following your bliss. So back to my client that I had last week with the overwhelm. She was so cute, because when you break it down to something simple instead of complex, a lot of times we forget that we're people and that most of us really love when people talk with us from that childlike wonderment, from our imagination, from our youth, as opposed to speaking from the adult place. Because the adult place is that scolding, foreboding place. But if you talk with a person from that childlike heart place, then you're going to be more receptive. You're going to be more intrigued. You're going to pay more attention to what they have to say. Told me she was overwhelmed. So we got her through overwhelmed. But before I actually got to speak to her, I had to speak with her to set up the appointment, the phone session. And I gave her a few exercises to do then before I actually gave her the overwhelm lesson. And my favorite one that I tell anyone and everyone is, be in gratitude. I'm sorry, all of last year, this year, for the rest of my life until it's time for me to go to Poe, I will always tell you to be in gratitude. Every night before I go to bed, I tell Kealakua, Kealakua, mahalo for. And sometimes it's the funniest things, sometimes it's the most serious things, but whatever it is my gratitude for that day. Because there's what I'm grateful for, you're not going to be grateful for. Sure, you might be grateful for it too, but not the way I feel about it, but the way you feel about something, I'm not going to be grateful for it either. So, but it only takes a minute. I'll come back to that in just a minute. But gratitude, oh my goodness. When you're so grateful for just being alive, your whole life shifts. For example, I'm sitting in front of my fireplace in my bedroom, looking out my window, and I have the Cardinals and the Blue Jays playing outside my window. How cool is that? It is cold and it is raining, but they're outside, they're playing. They're looking for food, these are the babies. Well, they're not baby babies anymore. These are the ones that hatched in the spring, and they're chasing each other around. They're flying, they're fluttering, and they're having fun. And this is not going to be one of the things that I'm going to be grateful for when I go to bed this evening. Something else that I'm going to be grateful for? The snoring, because it was hilarious, and it brought joy. It brought joy to me, it brought joy to my husband, and hopefully it brought some joy to you guys. The other thing I told her, and I started with night, because in pole, that's when we have the opportunity to rest our bodies, rest our mind, and rest our souls. So when you go to bed, I got this from Dr. Dyer. I'm a big Hay House fan. I got this from Dr. Dyer. Marinate your brain on gratitude, not worrying about the bills. We all have bills. And you guys know how I feel about bills. I'm grateful I have those because I have a home to sit inside. It's raining. Really wouldn't want to be outside with a cardboard box. Unless, of course, it had plastic over it or a tent so I could stay dry. So, I'm going to have to do a show on relationship on money. But in the morning, so at night, we do five things that you're grateful for before you go to bed. In the morning, I do three things that I'm grateful for when I wake up. And he asked me why. Why not? There's no rhyme or reason. I think, if I remember right, in the book with Esther Abraham and Dr. Dyer, Abraham said that you should do it in the morning. But I had already taken a class, a master teacher class, in 2010. And my kumu, my teacher, she told me, before you put your foot on the floor, say something you're grateful for. And I told her, because as you know, when you get a little older, you got to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I told her, but if I got to go, she goes, even then, and it's like, Lord. But now I have an agreement with my bladder. Let me at least say something I'm grateful for before I run to the restroom. So I was already practicing that. But now I just added three. Three felt good for me. You add whatever you want. But something that you're grateful for. I wake up, oh, mahalo ke akua. I have another day to have a great experience. Thank you so much. And I look it around to my little family, my husband, my three animals that are in the bed with us. Yes. And I giggle and I complain because we all look like little snakes. My husband has his side of the bed and the other three animals and myself are on my side of the bed. And we all look like little snakes just trying to wriggle or sardines. And I'm great. I was sick this past week. My three little monsters were the best three little angels. They stayed next to me. They, you know, had the biggest concern for me. And I was grateful. They were fighting over me. My littlest one, she's a cute. She is the most protective of mom. And if she gets in the room first, the other two are not going to get in here without her fighting them off. And she's only 20 pounds. And I have Samson, the puppy, who's the medium-sized dog, at about 45 pounds. And then I have Sadie, the 80-pound pit bull. And so here, size does not matter. It is, who's got the strength of spirit? And that would be Susie Q. She does not know that she is a little dog. She thinks she's a big pit bull, since her mama dog was a pit bull when she came to the house. And I am so sorry. That is Susie Q talking with us today. I told you guys that she is my dog with the most spirit, but also the most sensitive and the one that loves meditation. So very, very sorry for that intrusion, you guys. So what other ways can you find joy? do giggle and snicker at work at, oh, man, look at how I type that, friend. It looked like fiend. I do that all the time. My typing cracks me up, and I'll be giggling while I'm typing, and my husband's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, I misspelled, but it's so funny what I misspelled, because it makes me think. It makes me think of other words. It makes me think of other time periods. It brings back memories. So for those of you that have day jobs, corporate jobs, you know, look at those little things that you do that make you crazy. Oh, I can't believe I mistyped that. But there might be a, hey, Deep Blue Sea, thanks for joining me. But there might be a word in there that you needed to hear. So subconsciously, God, the angels typed in there that word. So that way you could take the challenge of that word and giggle and find joy. Some other things that bring me joy, obviously, my husband, my family, going to the beach, going to the lake, traveling, all of those kinds of things. But my biggest joy would be being able to laugh and share laughter and help people laugh. That's why I told you the story about my husband and the snoring and the dog. Now, if I was a really good wife, I would have videoed it instead of just taped it. So next time I might have to do that. Hold on just a second. We got a caller. Let's see. Hello. Who do I have on the line with me today?
Hi, my name is Deep. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How are you today?
I'm very well. So I've not been following your radio show today, so I was listening.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. So how do you follow joy? How do you find your bliss, your joy?
Over the years, I've realized my bliss, my joy is within me and not in something else, something outside, something in the world, or in a different person. Yeah, so it's in enjoying what I do, taking time in relaxing or in a hobby, finding friend. So when I spend time with a friend, it's not... The joy is not in the friend, but in the friendship, which comes through me. So, yeah, so it's internal, my bliss. And yeah, sorry, go on.
No, exactly. Well, and, you know, when I said how do you find your bliss, when I started the show, I was talking about how I giggle at finds, but most people understand finds better than, you know, what is your joy or what is your bliss, because most people cannot describe it as well as you described it for yourself, because you're right, it's all internal. And that's why we were talking, why we set the series we did, you know, about our innate gifts that came to us from spirit. You know, it is the gift of love, peace, joy, and then next week we'll be talking about wisdom. But you're right, you know, you can't look for it outside of you, it's within you. And like you said, you know, being with friends, it's the friendship. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about joy?
No, not really, but just that joy, it's a continuous discovery phase. It's not that we have found our joy, found our bliss, and that's we, because we evolve and grow as a person, and the world is changing as well. And that's spiritually, we are becoming more evolved as well. Not just matured as a person, not just matured mentally, and age-wise, of course, physically, we are growing older every day. Joy, it's not one thing which we find and we dwell on. It's like kind of like who moved my cheese. So if you think joy is one thing you found and you'll be happy with it, it'll be your bliss for life. That may not.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, because you're right. What, you know, and as I said earlier in the show, you know, what I find joyful within my life is obviously going to be different than what you would find. But as far as knowing what my joy triggers are and how to find it within is the part that most of us struggle with. How do you, if you're out of joy and not having joy, what do? To improve that feeling of joy within yourself? Do you do meditation?
Yeah, I may not meditate, actually sit down and cross my legs and meditate, but I go within myself and try to find that equilibrium, that balance, or try to understand what is disturbing me and then try to sort it out. Like if there's something which is bothering me, and I can't do anything about it, then I try to explain it to my mind to say that, look, this is something which can't be, it's beyond my control for the next few days or forever. So that's how it's like untying one thread and then finding the rope and then realizing that is where my equilibrium is.
Exactly. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that, because finding that balance and realizing that we have no control over situations, you know, just the control within ourselves, and to go internally to look, you know, to look at what's causing the disruption in the peace and joy that's going on in our life.
Yeah. I just wanted to add to it that both the secret as well as the challenge in life is to let go and hand over the driving seat to the universe, which I say it, but it's a challenge for everyone, like it is for me.
Oh, absolutely. You are so correct. That is a big challenge. I don't know if you were listening earlier in on the show, but I was talking about that I know that I, you know, when you look at the book and you look at type A personality control freak, my picture is right there. And I have learned how to release and let go. There's certain things, yes, that I still love having control over, and it's the dumbest things. But for me, it's part of my joy and my bliss. And my husband's like, no, we'll just let somebody else do it. And I'm like, no, I'll do it, because I do find joy in doing those little menial tasks, you know. And
yeah.
But you're
yeah.
right. Letting go is a big key, and it is a challenge. And I read an article yesterday from Andrea Hess, and I thought it was called Dual Intentions. And I thought it was the funniest thing the first time I read it, because she was talking about even letting go of, you know, marriage and relationships. And then, of course, her next sentence is, you know, I'm not saying get a divorce, but just let it go where you're at now. And, of course, my type A came out, my ego, because it was first thing in the morning and I wasn't quite balanced yet. And then I reread it and realized, oh, she's talking about letting it go and reconnecting at that higher level and just letting the universe bring you, you know, together stronger at that next level. And I was like, oh, that makes sense now. But that first read, my whole internal clock was not getting it. But you're right, challenge of keeping it balanced and letting the universe handle things that we have nothing that we can do about is a difficult one.
It is, yeah.
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 Well, thank you so much for listening to the show. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and mute you I'm going to go ahead and finish out the show here in a few more minutes.
Sure. Thank you. It's a pleasure listening to your radio show.
Well, thank you so much. All righty. I really loved everything the caller had to share with us, because it is so true, finding balance, which in Hawaii we call that lokahi. And we're in a society, we're pulled in 40 million different directions with our family, our job, our children, our animals. And sometimes there's just not enough time for me. But that's not true. You have to make the time. You have to make the time for yourself. And as he was saying, you know, he doesn't meditate in, you know, the meditation cross your leg pose. I don't either. You know, sometimes I do. I have to do a photo session like that here in the next couple of days. And I'm cracking myself up because that's not how I normally meditate, but for this particular piece, that's how they want the photo. But I meditate when I'm in the shower. That seems to be like my best place to do meditation whenever I'm struggling. I just stop, take a minute, go to the restroom if I'm in a public place. And, you know, it's what everyone else would think of, gather my thoughts. So that's my meditation. You know, I may go to the restroom while I'm in the stall, just be really still and really quiet and, okay, let's relax. You know, I can only do this, Keokua. I'm depending on you to take care of the rest for me because I know you will. Okay, 3 deep breaths in and out. All right, let's go. You know, it's finding the ways to get yourself back in balance. And meditation, it doesn't take forever. You know, I personally do not meditate for hours on end. There's not enough time in the day for me to do that. No, I could, I guess, if I really wanted to, but I have gotten my meditation cycle to where I get in my zone, in my meditation zone, gather my thoughts, have my conversation with Keokua, do my breathe in, breathe out, relax, get to the next place, because there's so much things out here in this world that I would like to do and accomplish, and I have obligations, and unfortunately, I do not have the opportunity just to sit and meditate for hours. So however you can do it, I will, it's going to be coming in February, but I will be adding some meditations to our website that I'm recording right now. And as we tweak them, because you guys know me, I stutter, I say so and whatever and a lot. So we're so we're working through tweaking the meditations so they flow nicely and they don't sound like a 3-year-old saying them. What else can you do to help you retrieve your joy instead of finding your joy, because it's inside? Retrieve it. One of my favorite exercises with my clients, when you were ages 3 to 8 years old, what did you used to do for fun? Between ages 3 and 8. So if you can recall things that you did that were joyful, then you can recall how to feel joyful. There's days, everybody, we all have bad days. We all have bad days. I also have bad days. However, I also know how to get myself out of that funk and get myself back into my joy and what makes me happy and what makes me blissful. Because I promise you, my husband doesn't like it when I'm not happy. He subscribes to that saying, happy wife, happy life. Well, so he's trying to do everything he can to make me happy. And I'm telling him, it's not you, dude, it's me. I'm got things going on. I'm having challenges. I'm wondering, am I doing the right thing? Should I change careers? Should I go back to corporate America? What should I do? I have those thoughts too. And okay, well, go do your meditation thing. Take the girls with you, because my dogs love to meditate with me. My husband calls it nap time. And so we'll come into the bedroom, you know, and take maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, have a real solid meditation when I'm really having my challenges. Take that time out. And I'll either, if it's really on my mind, I will journal. I will get everything off my chest, write it down. And once I get it off my chest, then I realize, wow, this is really manini. Remember this Hawaiian word from a couple weeks ago, manini, small, insignificant? Because once you realize that everything that you were fretting about is not that big, it's not that significant. And then I can find my place of joy. I'll come out of the bedroom. My husband goes, oh, did you have a good nap, Tom? and I'll snicker and I'll snarl at him. I wasn't sleeping. I was meditating. He goes, didn't sound like it to me. Sounded like you were snoring and a farting. Yep, I said that. And I'm like, I was not. And he goes, I go, I was writing or I was awake. I wasn't sleeping. And he goes, I know, but I like teasing you and telling you that, which makes me laugh, which brings me more joy because I brought him joy. He's brought me joy in the relationship, as our caller was talking about. So we find joy within ourselves, and we're not finding it because it wasn't lost. We're just retrieving it. We're reclaiming. Ooh, that's even a better word. We're reclaiming our innate gift of joy. Today's lesson, reclaiming, retrieving your gift of joy. It's within you. It's not dependent on anyone else. It's only dependent on you. There are other, the outside influences can bring you joy because they'll make your belly laugh and it'll bring back a good memory. Or it'll be a great memory for when it's time for everybody to go to Poe for your reflection. When we got Sadie, I didn't want another dog. I had just lost my Coal Buddy. Coal Buddy was the dog I always, always wanted. He was my Lassie. For those of you that are not that don't know what Lassie is, it was a TV show with this dog and this little boy. And don't ask me what the little boy's name was, but the name of the show is Lassie. And this dog was amazing. Well, my Cole was my Lassie. And when he passed, I was distraught. I was heartbroken. I didn't think I was ever going to make it through another day. Because I had that dog from the moment he was born. I had his mother, and I witnessed his birth. And for 15 years of his life, he brought me sunshine and pain. But all of that was my joy. It was my joy within to watch him go from a little puppy that couldn't see and just moved around looking for the nipple for his mom, to a clumsy puppy learning how to walk in his eyes, to a very good, loyal, protective dog that laughed with me, that cried with me, that caused me happiness, joy, anguish. And when I lost him, you know, it was like the end of the world for me because that was my Lassie dog. I could do anything. He was a 110-pound pit bull mix, and he was the funniest thing. I would tell him when he would get in trouble, I would tell him to go to jail, and jail was the bathroom. He would turn red, red, because he was a white pit bull with brindle patches, and it used to crack me up. And my husband goes, that's just wrong. And I go, but he was bad. I said, you don't want me to. I said, we don't beat our dogs, so we scold them. So off he would go into the bathroom. And then I would release him and let him back out. But pain and anguish at the time of his death, it was very heartbreaking. Fast forward to 2016. I can talk about him with minimal crying emotion as we're chatting. But because of him and his unconditional love that he gave, he was one of my greatest gifts of teaching me how to be unconditional loving and to find the peace and the joy. He used to crack me up. He loved running around after crickets and grasshoppers in the yard. There's a 14, 15-year-old dog still chasing grasshoppers and crickets like he was when he was a puppy. That same joy. You have that joy within you. There's nobody else to blame. You can't blame your husband, your children, the dogs, the mailman, the UPS man, if you're not joyful. Not their fault. It's your gift. It is your gift from Keakua. So go inside, reclaim that gift, reclaim the knowing. To aloha and malu, Leia. I want to take this time to thank each and every one that are listening live and on the replay for joining me today on the Crystal and Kaivi Talk Story at 9 High Time. I had tons of fun and lots of joy talking with you and sharing my stories of pain, sorrow, anguish, and how I just went in and reclaimed my joy. I ask that you go in and reclaim your joy. And join us next week when our topic is Ike. The Hawaiian word for wisdom is Ike, which is our fourth innate gift. And then next week I will tell you what the secret of the four gifts is. Or at least the secret as I know it from my Hawaiian teaching. If you would like to get in touch with me, my email is crystal@alohacrystal.com. My website is alohacrystal.com. That's alohacrystal.com. Kaivi's email is hoolafoundation@gmail.com. That is hoolafoundation.com. His website, that is his website, hoolafoundation.com. His email again is hoolafoundation@gmail.com. We are here every Thursday at 9 a.m. Hawaii time, which is 1 Central, 2 Eastern, 12 noon West Coast, and for our mountain friends, that would be noon. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a very blessed week. Look at the joy within yourself, because when you do, you'll be sharing joy with others. Have a great week. Mahalo Keakua. Malama Pono. Ahui ho.